Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, when we consider who we're addressing, who you are, we just bow down to you, Lord, and just praise your name and thank you. Go before us this morning as we would open your word and as we would pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever played chess? How many of you can pronounce the word? Okay, put an ed on the end of it. You know, ed? What is chess with an ed on the end? Chess ed. Okay, now you want it Hebrew, you make the ch. So you go chesed. How many can say chesed? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. That word is 248 times in the Bible. Usually translated mercy. 60% of the time translated mercy. Also translated loving kindness. Also translated kindness. And today we will have the translation of goodness. Goodness. Chesed. We're going to look at a psalm that four times says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." So you could read that, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his mercy," or for his kindness, or his loving kindness. They translated goodness here. Goodness is not used that many times. Only 12% of the time do they translate it goodness. But we like goodness, don't we? And so then in thinking of songs, I came up with a song we sang last week. Isn't that original? But it's the song, The Goodness of God. And there's more than a dozen times in this song the word goodness is mentioned. And Come the Fount of Many Blessings, it's mentioned twice. The other hymns that I found, I could find mentioned once. So I thought, I love hymns, but sometimes these contemporary songs have the word we want. And so I hope you'll sing along with the goodness of God. The words are on your front sheet. "I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me." There's the word already. Chesed, chesed. "All my days I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God." We're going to be in Psalm, as you already know, 107 today. Thanksgiving and giving God all glory for his goodness. So let's sing the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, God.
That's the most energy I've heard from this group in the beginning song ever. But it's great, isn't it? His goodness, His mercy, His grace. Psalm 107, we have another long one today, and then next week we get to Psalm 108. It's only 13 verses, so we can slow down a little bit. But there is just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage here, as you know. Thanksgiving to the Lord for His great works of deliverance. Deliverance. It begins with an exclamation. Oh! Oh! Give thanks, or praise. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Amen? For His mercy, or His goodness, or His kindness, or His loving kindness, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes, yes.
Are you the redeemed?
Yes.
Are you saying so?
Yes.
Praise God. Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Now He's talking about the history of Israel here in the desert wilderness march. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. Just think of that word desolate for a moment. For 40 years, basically, they were in a place where there were no roads, no paths, no other people. There's basically, other than what God gave them, no food, no water, no clothing stores, no shoe stores. I mean, it's amazing you think that. 1.5 to 3 million people estimated, provided for in the middle of nowhere for 40 years. Now, if you want to form a committee to try to outdo that, go ahead. I don't think anybody's going to get much done in that regard, but nevertheless, they wandered in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Of course, we know Abraham was searching for a city built by God, which He is there. We're all going there soon, but we're not there yet. Now notice, hungry and thirsty. How do you do when you're really hungry and you're really thirsty? Not very well. Their soul fainted in them. Think of the desperation. Then, we're going to have then in here several times. Then, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. I'm going to have that four times in this passage. He led them forth by the right way. That right could also be translated straight or safe. And that is the way He's leading you and me, in the right way. There's only one right way. There are many wrong ways, but there's only one right way, and you have it. Don't be looking for anything else other than His right way. It's all a step down, way down from there. They're looking for the safe, right way that they may go to a city for a dwelling place, and then the first of four times He will say, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's almost incredulous that we wouldn't thank the Lord for all that He's given us. But in your prayers, you know, praise is important. All kinds of things are important. How much of your prayer is thanksgiving? I mean, intercession is important. Praying for the ills of the world is important. But should He not be hearing your thanks and my thanks? He satisfies the longing soul. We all have a longing soul, and the only thing that can satisfy it is Him. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with, there's the word again, goodness, chesed, mercy, loving kindness. He fills a hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God, and despise the counsel of the Most High. How we think of so many out there now despising the counsel of the Most High. It just brings to mind a thought I had this week. You know, as Christians, I watched a little couple of snippets of CPAC, you know, the Republican convention this week. And I'm a conservative, and for party goes, I have to go with a party that's biblical. But I got kind of tired of them running down the other side. And then I opened a couple of emails I got that had been passed on to me by well-meaning friends, but they were very negative on those in office right now. And one of them even had kind of a questionable word to describe them. I don't need that. We don't need that. We're God's children. We should be praying for them. We shouldn't be spreading these stories about how inept they are. We know that. God knows that. We don't have to remind him. But who's going to pray? Who's going to stand against this wickedness? It's the church. And you and I are the church, part of the church. But here they despise the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. So, by the way, before I leave that subject, before you hit that send button, email, social media, does this glorify God or not? Is this something I should really be sending or not? Yeah, but they'll laugh at it. It's a funny joke. Does God want you to send it? Send it. If he doesn't want you to send it, don't send it. Right? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Second time. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. And here again, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. We know that specifically happened with regard to the prophecy for Cyrus, as the Medes and Persians under Cyrus would defeat the Babylonians. They came into the city, snuck in under the gates when the river was diverted, as you know, and the gates were open, and the bars were parted, and they walked right into the city. But he does that in our lives too, doesn't he? Fools, because of their transgression, I change his gears a little bit, because of their iniquities were afflicted, their souls abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. But again, here's this word. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Third time. He sent his word and healed them. Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, 67 times in the Bible. We call on him to be our healer. Here he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Once again, delivered them from their destruction. And oh, how he has saved us and delivered us from our destruction. Third time, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Does that fit a characteristic of yours, giving sacrifices of thanksgiving and declaring his works with rejoicing? When's the last time you declared God's works with rejoicing? Walking back from running some copies at the office, and I looked up at that moon, and it's just like, wow. Wow, it's a big moon. I mean, there's some little thing out there floating around Mars right now taking pictures. I think that's great, but I don't know what good that's going to do. But anyway, the universe is awesome, isn't it? His works are wonderful. 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, talking about the ocean now, these would be merchant marines or sailors or business shippers and so forth. Those who go down to the sea in ships who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind. Have any of you ever been in the Galilee when the Sea of Galilee was in an uproar? Here's a flat little old lake. I say little, it's not that little, but it's just a few miles across. And it's just smooth as glass most of the time. But then it can become so vicious. 1992, we were there, and it flooded all of the walkways along the hotels, came clear up on over a seawall that was high as this. It wasn't all water, but it was the splash of the waves. But it gets vicious. So when you're on the ocean, you are in God's hand, right? For he commands and raises a stormy wind which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Think of that. Here's this boat, or the ship, whatever. Up to the heavens on top of that. On the other side, down to the depths. And if you're in a small boat, it's even worse, right? When it's wicked wind and weather. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro like a drunken man. They're at their wit's end. Then, again, third then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. One more time, we get that. He calms the storm so that his waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Fourth time, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of elders. Again, is that characteristic of you and of me? And now, continuing on his works, really, he turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plants vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrows. Humility, right? Where's pride in that verse? It's not there. Through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no water. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Then the closing verse, very complete, important. Whoever is wise will observe these things. And observe in the Hebrew means not just to look at it. It means to study it. It means to understand it. And it means more than anything, to do it. To do it. Very big emphasis on doing, not just on understanding. Intellectual knowledge is great in a way, but unless it follows with action, it doesn't lead to anything. But this is, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the chesed, the loving kindness of the Lord. So if you want to understand the mercy, the loving kindness, the goodness of the Lord, spend some time in this psalm. Not the only place, but it's a great place, isn't it? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness, your loving kindness. Lead us now in this time to pray. Help me to pray. Help us to pray as we ought to pray, as led by your Spirit, Lord. I just thank you for the precious ones here that do that, and help us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here once again this morning, and just reminded of that verse repeated four times in this psalm. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.